This program is brought to you from the Margaret Farrow Studio.
Hello and welcome to Newsmakers. I'm your host, Lisa Pugh. Each even-numbered year of the biennium, Wisconsin's Joint Legislative Council establishes what are known as study committees. These unique committees that have members from bipartisan legislators and citizen members ends up tackling some of Wisconsin's most controversial issues and sending them to legislation to be considered by the full legislature. Wisconsin Eye is providing exclusive coverage of the Joint Legislative Council's seven current committees, and today we're sitting down with Director Ann Sappenfield. Thank you for joining us.
Thank you so much. I'm so glad that you're interested in this topic.
Absolutely. So let's start talking a little bit about the background and history of the Joint Legislative Council. It's really been around for a long time.
It has, since 1947. And it started out as a resource for legislators to do research and gather data about statewide issues. And over time, we have become our main purpose during the regular session has become staffing the standing committees. And so everyone on the staff, mostly made up of attorneys, and we have some analysts as well, staff about 3 to 5 of the standing committees and become experts in the areas of the law, such as K-12 education or criminal justice or natural resources.
The legislators can then ask them clarifying questions, yes, about issues.
Yes, yes.
And then there's the study committee,
right,
function of the council.
Right. So that's an older role that we've had. And the study committees are established during the interim. So this is the time after the regular session is over and the legislators are have more time to consider a deeper topic. So these kinds of committees happen in, I think, all legislatures, because the regular session is such a busy time. And if you come across an issue or something arises that really needs more time and more study, then the interim is a great place to take the time and really learn the background of the topic and come up with legislative solutions for the next session.
So there are currently seven study committees that are operating in this biennium. Can you give us just kind of a brief summary,
sure,
of what those seven are?
Sure. This year, the Legislative Council established six committees. We have a committee on the commercial building permitting process. We have a committee on increasing offender employment opportunities. We have one on occupational licenses, shared school district services, uniform death reporting standards, and the Wisconsin National Guard sexual misconduct procedures. And then in the statutes, there are two study committees that happen every session. And so those are state-tribal relations and law revision. So state-tribal relations, which works with the bands and tribes in Wisconsin to talk about issues that the tribes and the state have to work together, meets during this time in the interim. And then the law revision committee meets during the regular session.
So you mentioned that other state legislatures around the country have something similar to these study committees, but there is something unique about Wisconsin study committees, right?
Right. In Wisconsin, we have citizen members on the committees, which is such a resource for us. So each committee is comprised of, it's chaired and vice-chaired by a legislator, usually in the majority party. And then there are other legislators who serve on the committee, and we really strive to always have a bipartisan balance. So there's always legislators from both parties on the committees. And then we look at the issue in more depth, and the staff for the committee looks through the issue and thinks about who are the stakeholders, who needs to be at the table, who do we need to hear from to really come up with the best solutions to these issues. So we take those people, make categories, and then we ask people to volunteer, and we recruit if we need to from different interest groups to create a committee that has people who are actually doing these jobs that we will affect through this legislation and who have the expertise that we don't have from our vantage point. So I think it's a huge help to these committees to have those voices at the table.
It takes a little bit of the politics out of it too when
it's
you have
true.
A citizen member.
It's true. And it's really a great opportunity because they have the same votes as the legislator members. So they are definitely not just having their voices at the table, but they're also voting on the policies.
And the goal of these committees then is that they come up with recommendations for legislation, but they are different than the other committees in the legislature, correct?
Right. So they will actually look at draft legislation and make changes to get it to where they want it to be. And then that legislation is presented to the Joint Legislative Council, which is a Joint Legislative Committee of 22 members. All of the leadership is on that committee. And then
leadership from the Assembly and the Senate.
Correct. And then some members are appointed by leadership as well. And that group hears the reports from the different committees, and then they vote whether to introduce the legislation or not. And when the legislation from one of these committees is introduced, it's introduced by the Joint Legislative Council, and then it goes through the same process, being heard before the standing committees and being voted on by each House in order to be enacted.
So these citizen members that you mentioned that are unique to Wisconsin Study Committee, really anybody could end up being a citizen member, or they could put their name forward?
Absolutely, yes. So we have people recommended by others, but we have people who come forward, who volunteer their time and their energy for these committees.
Okay, well, let's dive into a few of these committees that are currently underway. The Joint Legislative Council website says that topics for these committees are often chosen for review of controversial subjects that have been unresolved by the previous legislature. And one of those subjects certainly was the sexual misconduct in the National Guard, which really kind of came to a head in, I think, 2019, when both Senator Baldwin and Governor Evers had said that that there needed to be an assessment of the National Guard's sexual assault protocols.
Right.
So let's listen to a little testimony from that committee's first hearing that was on August 9th.
Okay.
Can we talk about that?
Okay.
So even well-intentioned officers don't unless they have a military background, don't understand that power dynamic between rank. Colonel, captain, staff sergeant, captain. We have young, impressionable males and females that don't think that they can say no when their superior is offering them a drink. And not all of the assaults have been with that power dynamic, but certainly some have, and that's a big problem. They're all a problem. But when you have law enforcement that's looking at, was there consent? Because that's what they care about. They're not going to probably take into account the rank, because that's not what the civilian statutes talk about.
So how important are citizen members, in this case, members of the military, on this particular study committee?
Very important, because, on that committee, we have people who work in the National Guard receiving these complaints. We have people who are in more, I wouldn't say necessarily policymaking, but more of a, administrative role within the Guard, but then also people who have been victims of sexual assault within the military, not necessarily the Guard, but within the military. And it is really important to have all of those viewpoints to find out where things don't go well and why. And by understanding that, it will be much easier to get an appropriate solution to the issues.
And this is a case where military regulation is different than state statute, right?
Right. So in these cases, the complaint is received by the military, but then it is often referred to local prosecutors. And then if the local prosecutors don't decide to go forward with it, then it can be dealt with within the Guard itself. The other thing that's interesting with the Guard is that the members will be under different statuses at different times. So at times they're under Wisconsin National Guard, and at times they're under the federal regulations for the Guard as well. And those are quite similar, but vary a little bit.
Where do you see that committee heading there? What are they trying to tackle?
I think they'll really look at how complaints are received and how they are processed, and then also any sort of training surrounding it. I think you see from that clip that an issue that we have with sexual assault in general, but in the military where you do have such a hierarchy, that it is difficult to really understand what happens in each particular situation. So I think hearing that kind of testimony and requiring training and oversight that's geared more towards creating that understanding will be something that they will be looking at.
Moving on to another committee that's been meeting, Wisconsin currently has 421 school districts, and the Council's Study Committee on Shared School District Services could recommend shrinking or consolidating that number in some way. I know they've already heard some testimony from other states that have consolidated school systems or county-based systems. What kind of public attention is that particular committee receiving?
I think, you know, that's a concern that a lot of school districts have, is the idea of consolidation. This committee is really looking at creating incentives and not mandating any sort of consolidation or even sharing services. That's a very local decision, obviously, whether to share services or not. So I don't see any sort of consolidation proposal coming out of this committee. However, we did take the opportunity to have some education around it and some discussion around it, because it is a topic that comes up in the legislature and that is present in the legislators' discussions right now. So we want to bring in some different people to raise some of the issues that it fixes and also that it causes, you know, issues that it may cause.
What is some of the testimony that they've heard in that committee so far?
Well, they've heard from, the first meeting was really focused on shared services. So they've heard from school district administrators, so superintendents who have shared services or and who have combined some of their efforts. And so that was really interesting to hear how that, what was successful about that and what was really challenging about it. And then, like you said, at the last meeting, they did hear a lot of background information on consolidation. And of course, a great place to look is other states, because if someone's already had that experience, it's really important to be able to see what they encountered and what went well and what didn't go well. So the purpose of that meeting was really to hear from other states who have gone through this experience about what their experiences were and what they think was successful and how they would caution us moving forward. Mm-hmm.
Let's listen into some recent testimony from Representative Rob Brooks, who is the chair of that committee.
You've all talked about challenges, but how did you get that buy-in? Without transferring money, that's what we need to hear at this committee, is how are you able to do that? The nuts and bolts, I think, are going to be settled more at the district level, but to provide those incentives and to get those buy-ins, where all of you had talked about not losing your identity in providing better resources without losing resources in competition, because those are really the big hurdles. Is if we're all competing school districts, which you are, you're competing for the same students, the same dollars. Some of you are transferring money, some of you aren't. So we really need to know how you made it work.
You mentioned, and Chairman Brooks has said, that committee is looking for ideas that can address barriers and incentives to sharing services between school districts. And then he also said he wasn't sure how any generated savings from sharing would be distributed by the legislature. I'm sure that gives a little angst to school districts.
Right.
Do study committees sometimes have difficulty reaching kind of bipartisan or other agreement among members?
There are certain topics that are harder to reach agreement on, and yes, there are times where, for example, something is going to be very difficult politically, even though it's something that a lot of the public members really feel like is needed. Sometimes there's some tension there, and sometimes there are topics where people really have very divergent opinions on them. We try not to study those topics as much, just because they do set up a situation where people maybe aren't ready to reach a discussion that deals more with compromise than with stating their own sides of an opinion. Sometimes an issue needs to percolate a little bit longer or reach a certain point where working together is really desirable for all parties.
So what happens if a committee doesn't reach sort of an agreement on what they might recommend?
Usually they do reach agreement on some things. So it may be less than what people had hoped for, but they typically come up with some legislation. Like I said, it may be a smaller topic than they hope to tackle. It might be working around the edges a little bit more than they had hoped. But in general, we work really hard with the committees, and they work very well together to come up with some solutions.
Do you see this shared school service committee as one that might have difficulty reaching agreement in that way?
I think that if we were taking on consolidation, then yes. I think with the shared services, this has been an issue that has been studied, and several years ago there was a Blue Ribbon Commission that looked at school funding and had some recommendations surrounding shared services. So there is still a lot of interest in the idea of giving school districts the support to do it. So whether it's financial assistance or technical assistance. It's so much work, right, to figure that out and to come up with a way where it does make sense financially and it does make sense for each school. So that type of surrounding the schools with that type of support seems to be really what they're looking for.
And that this issue intersects with school funding, which is already very complicated.
Exactly. Yes. Mm-hmm. Yes.
Moving on to another topic, the state's record low unemployment and workforce shortage, major concern mm-hmm. for the legislature, mm-hmm. something everybody's been talking about, putting some focus on unemployed or underemployed workers. And there's kind of two study committees that deal with the workforce in some way. The Study Committee on Increasing Offender Employment Opportunities, looking at obstacles for people that have been previously incarcerated. What is that committee really focusing on, and what are you hoping for?
I think that that committee will really focus on the opportunities to learn job skills and other types of skills to increase employment once an offender is released. So there are lots of programs now within the Department of Workforce Development in collaboration with the Department of Corrections that do offer those types of skills. So it's really looking at those, and I think looking at them at a time when, like you said, workforce needs are changing and are different, and it's important to think about this population as addressing some of those needs, but also allowing people to be able to be employed when they are released. So I know that they'll be looking at, like I said, different types of programs where you learn maybe a specific skill while you're still incarcerated, or maybe you have the opportunity to go work somewhere else while you're still incarcerated or soon thereafter. There are large companies represented in the committee membership who are seeking these types of employees and are very interested in having people with skills coming out of their incarceration and back into the community.
So this particular committee has not yet met, is that correct?
Correct.
And who are kind of some of the first witnesses that they will be hearing from?
They'll be hearing from the state agencies that administer the program. So the first committee will be to get kind of the lay of the land, where we are right now, and what services are offered so that everyone starts on the same page about what's going on right now.
You know, sometimes offenders run into that obstacle of that background check kind of being something that prevents an employer from hiring them. That previous record. Is that potential action for the legislature?
I think it's potential. I'm not sure exactly what it would look like, but I think that there is that interest on the committee. We certainly have on the committee, one of the members is a formerly incarcerated person who now works with people who have been incarcerated to support them in the Milwaukee community. So I think we will definitely hear that point of view.
The other study committee that is dealing a little bit with workforce issues has to do with the licensing process for the Department of Safety and Professional Services. And that definitely is one of those committees that the legislature had a lot of talk about in the previous session, concern about backlog in that agency and kind of getting people their licenses in a timely manner mm-hmm. so they could remain employed or continue to increase their employment. So where is that particular committee heading?
So that's a huge topic, of course. So the scope of the committee really focuses on creating a sunrise-sunset process. So that would be to, whenever a new license is created, there is a lot of talk about who's included, who isn't included, whether it decreases employment opportunities for some people, whether it increases safety to the public, which is certainly how licensing started. So one thing they're going to look at is creating a commission that would actually look at those issues every time a new license is proposed, just to kind of, I think, slow things down as they're going through the legislative process. But then also at sunset, so each type of license would last a particular amount of time, and then it would be reviewed again by the legislature to make sure that it's really serving its purpose.
Is this the type of challenge that other states have with sort of this backlog around licensing?
Yes. And so the topics that the legislature is looking at in this committee, you know, the Sunset Sunrise Commission, the reciprocity of licenses, which right now, you know, we have a lot of flexibility. We allow flexibility during the COVID pandemic, and with military families, we allow more flexibility, but looking at that area too. The committee doesn't have in its scope looking at the backlog, but I, you know, there's no way not to talk about that, so I'm sure that there will be discussion of that as well.
Is there anything else interesting that the public should be watching for in any of these committees or the ones that we haven't discussed? What would be your advice to the public?
I think you touched on the ones that most people in the public are really probably interested in and may affect them as well.
What about the uniform death reporting standards?
Yes.
That's the sort of committee that, well, why did we need a study committee on that?
That committee is really looking at, I think you probably know that the chair, Senator Ballwig, has looked at suicide prevention for years. That's been a huge part of her career as a legislator. And so this committee is looking at how different types of deaths are reported in a way that teaches us prevention. So in Wisconsin, we do have some counties or some coroner's offices that do really look at a suicide very intensely, and to really learn from that experience what happened and what we can look for in the future. There are also death review panels in certain counties, for example, child death review panels. So if you have a county where you've had several drownings, are there things that you can, that the county can do, that we can study, that the county can do to help alleviate that happening in the future? So really, I think the focus of this committee will be reporting those deaths that we hope are more preventable, like suicide or you know, accidents with children.
Some of the early testimony in that committee looked like, at the county level, kind of a need for more resources, that there is some overwhelming number of deaths with opioid deaths, mm-hmm. and some other, the COVID-related deaths. Do some of these committees sometimes recommend, hey, legislature, we need more resources or funding in communities?
They definitely do. That's... Sometimes with the study committees, the co-chairs will say that funding is off the table, but it's always discussion item, and I think that in many ways we're providing information that will be used in the upcoming budget as well.
Right, and that's probably part of the reason why they're timed in the way mm-hmm. they are, to provide that sort of information for budgets.
Right.
Interesting. Right. Commercial building permitting process.
Right.
That one seemed like there was some heated testimony
yes.
in the early committees. What is that about?
I think it's just, I mean, it's a little bit like the occupational licensing, right? It's some frustration with that process, having to go through, you know, the agency has its way of scheduling which permits are considered first and the process it goes through, and there are winners and losers losers in these processes. And so this committee really is looking at how to make that process a smoother process and a more efficient process for people who are trying to get those permits so that they can continue their building process.
Is it kind of hard to keep the politics out of some of these discussions in these committees?
Oh, yes, I mean, there are politics in everything, and so that is going to be part of the discussion, but that is part of the issue as well. So I think that to take the issues completely out of politics isn't possible or maybe even desirable at all times. So certainly that is part of it, but it is an environment where the focus is on the things that you know, people can find common ground on.
Have you seen legislators on these committees over time that a lot of times are pretty opposed on most issues that actually come to agreement in a way that maybe you wouldn't have expected?
I think so. I think, you know, some of these committees are really hard topics, and people learn a lot, and people are sitting at the table with people who have really had difficult situations. If you look at, for example, the National Guard Committee, and where you have victims of sexual assault at the table with you, I think that does frame the issue differently for people and allow people to see things in a different way.
So the next step for all of these committees really is that they put forth a set of recommendations. What's the timeline on that?
We are trying to wrap up all the committees by the end of the year. And then the Joint Legislative Council can meet early in the session, in the new session next year, to introduce the legislation.
Okay, so we can expect meetings from now and through the end of the year.
Yes.
Okay.
Yes.
And so then they send a set of recommendations to the Joint Legislative Council in the form of legislation?
Yes.
So what's the track record for Joint Legislative Council recommendations becoming law?
It's a better track record than normal bills. And I think that is because it has been really vetted by a group. Last session, we had, because of the pandemic, we only had two committees, but we had enacted all but one of their recommendations. So that was a session where we really had topics where people could come together and come up with really, really good solutions for moving forward.
What are some examples of law that people might be familiar with that really have that blueprint from the Joint Legislative Council study committees?
Well, some very old ones were the proposal to organize the court system like it is today, also to make district attorneys state employees instead of county employees.
How old is that?
That's old.
Okay, decades old.
I think 80s probably.
Okay.
And then there have been topics that have taken some time. I know I worked on lead poisoning years ago, and that continues to be an issue, but that was really a hard, big topic that we were able to tackle with landlords and health providers and families who had been affected. We also sometimes will take a topic and just look at the law. And there are times where, for example, I worked on a committee years ago that looked at all of the crimes against children, because over time things had overlapped or had not, you know, it had lost its clarity or lost its consistency with penalties. So those areas where the legislature enacts a lot in the area can come to a point where it makes sense to do a bigger view as opposed to just looking at each individual section of a chapter. So there are times where we, I think, do a huge service to the public and to the people who have to work with these laws in getting them in good shape so they don't have statutes that they don't quite know what they mean or could read two different ways.
You mentioned at the beginning of the show this sort of standing committee or committee that is written in a statute for the Special Committee on State-Tribal Relations. How important is it for a state like Wisconsin to have a committee like that that regularly meets?
It's really important. The tribal nations are sovereign nations, but they certainly work very closely with the state and are very affected by state and local laws and policies and approaches, and have a lot of the same interests in our natural resources and education, everything. And so that committee is a great opportunity for, well, I'll just back up a minute. One thing that's different about that committee is for all the committees, the co-chairs appoint the members based on recommendations from different folks and the chairs. For this committee, the tribes place their own members on the committee. So it's a person that they have chosen to represent their interests, which I also think brings a lot of power. Because there can be times where you feel like the person representing your organization maybe doesn't represent your views entirely. So in this sense, that committee really does represent the views of the different tribes and bands.
And so will they come out with recommendation for changes in statute as well?
They will, yes.
Are there particular issues they're looking at this year?
One thing they're looking at is education around the tribes and bands in Wisconsin and how that education is presented to children in Wisconsin to keep that tradition, those interests alive. Also, one piece of legislation that was not enacted last session has to do with putting members of the tribal colleges or representatives of the tribal colleges on the higher education board to have a voice on those boards. So that's another thing that they're looking at is different state boards and councils where we could very purposefully have a tribal voice where we don't have it now.
Interesting. Well, we're going to end with putting a slide up to show people where they can see Wisconsin Eye's exclusive coverage of the Joint Legislative Council study committees. And you'll be able to find on there links to previous testimony, the schedule for the committees, all of that good information, who's serving on the committees. I wanted to ask you as we close out our time, is there anything that's surprised you so far with this year's study committees?
One thing that has been great is that a lot of our chairs are on the Joint Finance Committee or are very involved in legislation throughout the session. And so I think that we have a very committed group of chairs. And so I'm really excited about this session. I think it's a session where we put a lot of thought into the topics. Topics can be too big or too small or too controversial. And I think that we have a really good set of topics and that we're going to see some really important recommendations coming out of these committees.
Well, thank you for taking the time to meet with us today.
Thank you so much.
And thank you to the viewers of Newsmakers. Be sure to tune in again as we highlight the issues and sit down with the decision makers who make a difference for all of us.
This program was brought to you from the Margaret Farrell Studio.
This program is a production of Wisconsin Eye, an independent, nonpartisan, nonprofit media network with a mission to inform, educate, and engage the citizens of Wisconsin. Wisconsin Eye is the nation's first and only independently funded state civics broadcast network, providing gavel-to-gavel access to government proceedings and events at the state capitol.